What's up, party people? Sherjohn here, another episode of My Personal Mentor. I am in a great mood today. I actually took over my sister's room, her old room in my parents' house. And given I'm all quarantined up with my beautiful, loving and old and annoying parents, I basically took her bed and threw it out. I was like, no more, sister. This is my place. But I just moved it to the basement. But what I did is I made a beautiful video recording studio that I'm going to use to record my awesome, awesome workshop that I think people will love. And it will be the masterclass of everything you need to know to get an amazing job in banking, consulting, and accounting, right? So everything you need to know, everything that I've learned in my life, I'm going to, you know, put it into this digital file of sorts and show it to the world. Anyways, I'm working on that, and I will show you what that looks like. But today, we're talking about something different. Today's episode is something related to my personal life, but at the same time, I think you guys can learn from it. And that is all about thinking and pushing beyond the platform. So what does that mean, pushing beyond the platform? You know, since we've been kids, we've always been part of a platform. When you're in, you know, middle school or high school, you always have to compete with your fellow students and you always have to come first in class, right? Then when you move into undergrad, you know, you're with a bunch of like, you know, 500, 1,000 students in your class or whatever it is, and you're again competing with everybody, you're taking the same courses. Then when you go to your first job or your second job or whatever, wherever you're working, again, you're part of a platform. Let's say you join Goldman Sachs. That's a platform. It gives you, you know, a salary for doing some work, and you're basically competing amongst each other. But the problem is, historically, just excelling in that platform was good enough. Like, if you were the best student in that high school, that was good enough to get, you know, into the best university. And then if you were the best student in the university with the highest GPA, that was good enough to get a good job. And then similarly, if you were the best at Goldman Sachs, it was good enough to get into, let's say, Harvard Business School. But anyways, my point is, historically, being in that position, excelling just within the, you know, the bounds of that platform, it was good enough, right? But the issue is, that's not enough. It's actually not good. It's not smart to excel only in the avenues the platform provides, because it's too easy. Everybody does it, and it doesn't make you unique. And that's the key part. The world has become super, super competitive. And if everybody's going to run the same race and try to just come first in that and not really push beyond those boundaries, you're not going to be able to differentiate yourself. So today's podcast, I want to kind of talk about what that means. And I want you guys to think in your heart and really think about your life and the platform you're in right now. Maybe you're in school, maybe you're at work, and how can you differentiate yourself? Because you're not going to stay there forever, especially in school. You're going to be there for a couple more years. If it's your job, you're going to be there for another 3 years, 4 years, maybe five. So you're going to be like, you know, going beyond. And at that moment, I want to make sure you have the edge to look differentiated, look better than everybody else. And it's not based on the platform you're coming from. So let's start with school. Let's say you're in university, right? You're a college student and you're going to, I'm just going to pick a university. Let's say you're going to Stanford. Now at Stanford, there's a lot of students. So everybody has the same university, name on their degree. Then let's just, you know, dumb it down to, let's just say the program. Let's say you're in the computer science program. Great. Everybody in computer science is taking computer science. So again, not differentiated. Now, if you just crush it and, you know, do really well in your courses, great, you'll get a 4.0 GPA. But again, there's a lot of people that are going to get a 4.0 GPA. There's going to be a lot more who are going to get 3.9, maybe a lot more who get 3.8, 3.7. So again, like, not really differentiating yourself. All you're saying is that I'm really good at studying this material that was given to me, and then I was really good at taking tests, and then when I did that, I got a really high score. Now, if you just stop there, this is where you have just excelled in the platform provided to you. Stanford University's computer science program, you just basically crushed it, but that's about it. There's nothing exciting about that, all right? Now let's push a little bit. Let's kind of like, you know, take most advantage of the platform provided. So Stanford University provides extracurriculars. You can join clubs, you can join sports teams. You know, you can do some volunteer work. Great, great. You're using some of the platform. Do that, right? So start joining some of these clubs, start joining some of these extracurricular activities, start volunteering. All of those things that the, you know, the campus or the university provides, you need to be doing. Just having a high GPA is not good enough anymore. Nobody's going to give you credit for it. You need to have a high GPA or a good GPA with a lot of other things. So that basically means, let's just say there's two candidates who apply for a job. They're both from Stanford University and they're both from computer science. One of them is a 4.0 GPA from computer science at Stanford University. The other one is a 3.7 GPA in computer science from Stanford University, but she also is part of the volleyball team. She also, you know, is a member of the chess club. She's also playing piano for the, you know, student choir or whatever. Point is, she's doing a lot more additional things in addition to just going to school and learning, right? So just using that platform to its, you know, most extensive way is kind of the key thing here. Now, the whole part of the podcast is you got to push beyond the platform, you know, because remember, there's going to be people who are going to be, you know, 3.7 plus all these extracurriculars and all those things. So, you know, you still have a lot of competition. You got to further differentiate. And this is where pushing beyond the platform comes in. Now, what does that mean? That means you got to really think about starting something yourself. You got to go deep into your entrepreneurial gene and start something. Take advantage of where you are. Doesn't matter where you are. It could be, you could be in New Delhi. You could be in Karachi. You could be in Sydney. You could be in New York. You could be at Stanford. Think about what you can do that no one else can do right now and give you the edge against your competition. So, for example, you may be an amazing dancer. You know, you love doing hip hop dancing or break dancing or classical dancing or ballet or whatever. Use that to maybe creating a small school or class in your neighborhood where you teach other people that dance. Now, that is pushing beyond the platform. That is creating something. That is building something out of thin air and showing and adding value to the world. Now, what happens is when you go to an interview or you go to, you know, meet an MBA admissions counselor or wherever, and they see a bunch of profiles, they see, okay, here's another Stanford computer science student. Then there's another one with computer science, Stanford, plus, you know, a bunch of extracurricular activities. Now there's you, Jenny, who not only has Stanford, has computer science, has a decent GPA, plus you've started this whole business on the side or this like club on the side, which is helping other people. Now you automatically become way more interesting than everybody else. All right? That's pushing beyond the platform when you're at school, let's just say. So now let's switch it up to, let's just say you're working at McKinsey. So you're, you know, in your early parts of your career and everybody wants to be top bucket, you know, and when you're working at some of these like firms, like the, you know, the big consulting firms or top investment banks and management consulting firms, everybody wants to be top bucket. Now, when I was at Morgan Stanley, I was not top bucket. I was middle bucket, you know, which I thought was, I was pretty lucky to be middle bucket because, you know, I was just like, man, I felt more like a bottom bucket analyst. But having said that, I was middle bucket and I'm proud to be middle bucket, all y'all. But having said that, I think it is good to be middle bucket, not top bucket. Now, why do I say that? Look, if you're really good at the job and you can easily get top bucket, great, do that. But the truth is the amount of work you'll need to spend of becoming a top bucket is almost like 2x what you'll need to do to become a middle bucket analyst, all right, or middle bucket consultant. And the difference in compensation is not that much. It's not going to change anything. It's one extra vacation in that year. That's about it. Now, the important part here is you can be at McKinsey. You don't need to be top of the class because, again, after McKinsey, what are you going to do? Either you get promoted up or you're going to go join some other cool company or you're going to go to business school. In all those cases, you will be competing with other McKinsey folks. You're going to be competing with other Goldman Sachs folks. So think about it from that angle. What will people see who are going to be accepting or reading your application? They're going to be like, okay, here are these 100 kids from Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, McKinsey, Bain, KPMG and PwC. How do I differentiate? All of them have basically done the same thing. They've aligned logos on spreadsheet, on PowerPoint. They've added a few numbers in spreadsheets, right? They've said yes, ma'am, no, ma'am to people. That's about it. They're all like, you know, they all know how to dress. They've all come from good schools. So how do you differentiate? So just saying, hey, by the way, I was one of the top consultants at McKinsey. Nah, it doesn't really give you any edge. It just means you stayed at work longer. and you're better at aligning logos and you know, adding numbers in Excel. That's basically what it means. So don't spend extra time doing that. I would rather you push beyond the platform and start something. So for example, maybe you have this, you know, love for a sector. You know, maybe let's say when you're McKinsey, you're, you know, focused on the consumer sector. Start writing a blog on the consumer sector. Start talking about what are the key trends you're seeing just on your own, on your free time. Every weekend, take an hour out and write what you're thinking about the industry and publish it on Medium or wherever you want to, you know, do. Maybe you run a newsletter on Substack, right? Build something on the side. Show that you've built something from scratch, from thin air, and you have an audience and following of, let's just say, you know, 100 people, 1,000 people, 10,000 people, doesn't matter what. All of these things are going to give you an edge when you go to the next stage of your life. I'll give you an example from my personal life. When I was, you know, an investment banking analyst, first year, that's when I started teaching these workshops. Now, right now, you guys are getting this access on this podcast, but before, what I would do is on the weekends, I would get on a plane and go to a new city that weekend and teach an event live. And these events would be anywhere from 500 students to 1,000 students. And I did that while being an investment banking analyst. Remember, investment banking analysts don't have any free time. They're working 80, 90 hours, sometimes 100 hours a week, right? So how did I find the time to do that? Well, I found the time just by pushing the boundaries, right? I would do my work. I wouldn't work extra hard to be top bucket, but just enough to be middle bucket, while spending my free time in going and spreading the word and helping other people, because that is my passion. And I did that not only in US, I would take international flights over weekends, flying from San Francisco to Hong Kong and back on a weekend. Yes, I've done that. That's my passion. Now, that opportunity, building that thing from thin air, when I then interviewed for venture capital, private equity, and growth equity opportunities after Morgan Stanley, that's how I got my Google job. Right, I worked at Capital G, which is the late stage investment arm of Google. And during the interview, they didn't care about my work at Morgan Stanley. That wasn't exciting. That wasn't sexy. Everybody had a job at Morgan Stanley or Google or McKinsey who was applying to that role. But they were more curious about my you know, workshops that I was teaching on my own free time, the business model around it, how did I attract students, all that stuff. So again, build something on the side. Right? Start something slow. You start something small. It doesn't have to be big, right? But start something. And right now, especially given this COVID-19 thing, and you know, a lot of folks have, you know, probably working from home, perfect time for you guys to really think about, you know, something on this side that you can do. And the way to do it, just pick something you're passionate about. Don't think about, oh, I need 1 million users, 1,000 users, this much money, blah, blah, blah. No. Keep it simple, guys. Focus on what you love. You love cooking? Do a cooking show. You love writing? Write a book. Write an article. Start with that. Write one page. Start with that, right? Start small, right? That's the way to go. And when you do that, you will push beyond the platform. When you push beyond the platform, you will have a lot more opportunities in your life and you will crush it. I guarantee you. All right, team. Next up is a letter from my fans. All right, team. Today we got a letter. Oh, wow. This is from a few years ago. And as you guys know, I love reading these letters. It's a way for me to say thanks to my fans, to my students. And if you ever want to write me a letter, you can always email me at info@sherjohn.com and I will get it. This is a letter from Toronto by a gentleman named Sadat. So Sadat writes, Sherjohn, thank you so much for hosting this event and truly one of the kind, one of a kind. I feel like the event fills a very necessary need for students. I'm very satisfied with my decision to attend the event and would definitely recommend it to my friends. I learned a lot from this event. The two most significant topics being behavioral questions and resume writing. Firstly, interviewing has always been a very weak point for me personally because I tended to get very nervous. There was never really a source I could look to for applicable interview advice. And I found your event to be just that. It provided a very structured slash practical approach for me to learn from. I now have tangible resources to focus on and prepare with. Secondly, I found the resume part of the workshop to be very, very helpful, specifically the portion about how to properly write an entry for your experiences, as well as the format. Lastly, the passion you have for this and the cause shows and trickles throughout the room. The workshop has been an amazing and a big part of my career development, as well as personal, and I want other students to have the same opportunity. Cheers, Sadat. Thank you, Sadat. I really appreciate it, man. Actually, Sadat, I know you well. I'm excited that I finally got to your letter, and I apologize for getting back to you for so late. You gave me your email, so I will definitely reach out to you. And this means a lot to me. We've been friends for a long time, and I cannot wait to call you and say thanks. But I appreciate it, brother. Hope you're doing well, and can't wait to see you. I'm in Toronto now, so I will find you. I will hunt you down, and we will meet again. All right, team, take care. Have a great night or morning or whatever it is. Bye-bye.